Thank you for downloading this William Hill podcast. You can get the latest odds, offers, and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app, and in any of our shops around the UK. Andy Holdings Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here with Andy Holding on the line to look ahead to Leopardstown on Wednesday. There's also a card at Limerick to look forward to. Some good Irish racing, some good racing everywhere actually on Wednesday. Some good stuff that you can get your teeth stuck into. We've got seven races to look at Leopardstown, and going through them all will be Mr. Andy Holding. Hello, Andy.
Morning, Alex.
How are you?
Very well, mate, yes. Another beautiful day.
Maybe not in Leeds.
Really?
No, overcast.
Oh, God, you don't want to know what it's like down here.
Is it lovely?
Yeah, gorgeous.
I might come down then.
Like you too said, it's a beautiful day.
Lovely. Do you want to keep going?
Oh, no, I bet not.
Okay. We could go through the whole album there, but we won't. We'll focus on Leopardstown. Seven races to look forward to and some really, really good stuff, Andy.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it just begins to hot up now, isn't it, the flat scene? And Newmarket very much kicks that today over in this country course with several, appealing races for the future. But that doesn't mean to say that Ireland haven't got their own versions, particularly the Heritage Stakes, where Fascinating Rock makes his seasonal reappearance. I'm really looking forward to him. But Dermot Weld has got not only him, but several other potentially promising maidens with Gulf of Poets and Valak in the 525. We know that Dermot's made an amazing start to the season. Already twice he's had four winners on the card, including a clean sweep in all the maidens as well. So oppose those ones at your peril.
Always seems to start well, doesn't he, Dermot Weld?
He does, but even more so this season. I think he's had plenty of competition over the last year or two with Aidan O'Brien, but the way that Aidan's team started, you'd have to say that it's like rather leaving the door open for the more forward stables, and Dermot Weld's taking advantage.
Okay, right, we'll dive into the action then. We'll start with the 3:10, which is a maiden over a mile, and Gulf of Poets head to first here, Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen, an unraced one, but those that do bring form to the table don't bring the most solid form, if you like. There's bits and pieces of nice form. Sacrificial's consistent, if nothing else, but isn't really an each-way price. How are you going to play this one, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, a good deal depends on the strength in the Dermot Weld horse, doesn't it? As I just mentioned in the preamble, Dermot's had an embarrassment of riches in this department already. The likes of Zorak, of course, won on Sunday, Ed Elpoor, Serifelli, Jolinor, Radampour, Sumiyaya, Massinga, Zafayan, and four or five of those I've just mentioned are all maiden. So he's got virtually every angle covered, you'd imagine. And this beautifully bred son of Oasis Dream hasn't really got a great deal to beat. Certainly the ones I've seen run anyway up to now. Sacrificial would be the best of them, although he struggled to win last year. I always felt as though he was going to make up into a nice three-yard. I think he was just a little bit backward at Joe Lange's charge. The main problem with backing a Sacrificial, if you are going to do so, is we're unsure whether he'll handle the ground or not. He's yet to run on it, and his pedigree suggests that he might struggle on the softest ground. He has, however, been gelded over the winter, so he might well be able to offset that slight negative. Dunquin's already had a run behind Stormfly, of course, boosted the form with a win in the Irish 1000 Guineas trial, so that form looks fairly solid. And, sure to be better for the run. But I'll probably have to go with the obvious and stick with Gulf of Poets. Most of Dermot Weld's horses want a bit of cut in the ground. They tend to sort of hit the ground quite hard. They all seem to be very powerful, strong sorts, and a fast surface would be a negative. So the ground at the moment, Leopardstown, just drying out on the soft side, on the yielding side of soft, should be absolutely ideal for this. Gulf of Poets to keep the good work up for the Master of Rosewell.
Okay, Gulf of Poets, the pick in the first. Next up is the 3:45, the Heritage Stakes, a listed race over a mile. Seven runners down to go at the post here, Andy. And although you could probably rule a few of them out, a few of them pitched in pretty high here, you mentioned Fascinating Rock earlier, horse making its seasonal reappearance. Looked a very, very smart prospect last year. won't have it all his own way here. There are some nice enough types coming up against him. But do you expect another winner for Dermot Weld here?
I do, yeah. I think it's very significant that Dermot's starting this horse's four-year-old career over a mile. He started off last season in the best possible fashion, winning a maiden course here at this track. And then he stepped up on that and earned himself a tilt at the Derby by winning the Derrinstown trial, albeit on slightly controversial circumstances when he was lent on in the latter stages by Eben Oren and got the race in the Sheard Room. He then failed to handle the track stroke, didn't stay in the Derby. They tried him in the Irish Derby when he got jarred up on the firm ground, and he's been kept off the track ever since. He comes back to his seasonal reappearance at a track where he's obviously 2 from 3. He's got his soft ground first time out. What he has got is an unbelievably good turn of foot. On the two occasions when he did win, he came from the back of the field to mow down his rivals. And that's quite a good tactic here at Leopardstown, particularly as they often race off the far side round and they come down the middle. It suits horses swooping late, fast and wide, like it did on several occasions on Sunday. And even though, like I say, you know, this is not his ideal distance, arguably at the moment, he might well be campaigned over a mile, who knows. But we'd imagine that a mile and a quarter be his trip from here on in. He should, in theory, get the better of the ones we know, the likes of Cougar Mountain, Alive Alive, O Fraser, Shawnee, etc. The only danger of finding the ointment could be Chopin having his first run for Jer Lyons, an interesting recruit from the Andrus Waller stable, of course, last year. Just had the one run at Newbury, of course, behind Olympic Glory, but didn't get beat too far. He's a Group 1 horse, effectively. So he's certainly going to give Fascinating Rock a little bit of competition. But as for now, it's impossible to poll Dermot Weld and Fascinating Rock. Hopefully it will justify favouritism in the Heritage Stakes.
OK, Fascinating Rock, pretty hard to get away from then in the 3:45. The 4:20 is up next, which is a handicap over a mile. Really competitive, this one. Andy, Princess Aloof is popular at the head of affairs as we speak this morning. Recording this about 10:15 on Wednesday morning, and Princess Aloof is 4s from 5s as she bids to back up her win on Sunday. But there are plenty of you know, credible dangers, if you like, who've got bits and pieces of form. Nothing around here in rattlingly good form, apart from the favourite, Andy. Does that make her hard to get away from?
Possibly, yeah. I think she's slightly vulnerable here under top weight. She obviously did well to win here Sunday, and that's got to be respected. A horse who handles the track, handles the ground, is in good form. Most punters will be looking towards that as a safety net kind of bet. But there are a couple further down the line that I think we should mention at much bigger prices. One of them has to be Beau Satchel, a horse who I've basically been touting for the last sort of like 6 months, to be honest. I don't think there's a podcast go Beau and I don't tip Beau Satchel. And I'm not going to let podcasters down again by nominating Adrian McGuinness's five-year-old. I think he's been wanting a little bit of soft ground as well. When he won in Galway last year, the ground was similar to what he's going to face tonight. And even though he's got beaten on his last two starts at Dundalk, I think there are crumbs of comfort to carry forward from those two races. He needed the run beyond the Dancing Lord, and I went on record to say that he would certainly benefit from that run and beat the winner that beat him on his next start. He didn't get a chance to do that next time out, but he did drop in trip, and he was up against a much stiffer class of opponent when he was out the handicap to the tune of a couple of pounds. And in the end, that class rise probably took its toll in the latter stages. That 0-98 handicap was full of all the best Polytrack performers like Togaville, Have a Great Day, and Straight to Zanzibar. So, you know, he wasn't disgraced in that particular event. He's got a good draw tonight. I think this track will suit him, and I don't think he's worth a bet at 6-1. And the other one to mention is Yes, I Am, a horse I tipped at Tipperary the other night. Now, I'm certainly not in the business of following horses over cliff just for following them over cliff's sake. There's got to be a bit of substance behind their defeats if I'm going to go with them again. And the reason I'm suggesting that Paul Deegan's charge can bounce back from his run the other night is largely due to the fact that he was very keen and he pulled hard in that early stages of the race at Tipperary. He just didn't settle at all, and he never gave himself a chance to get home as strongly as he did the time before at Cork. And, of course, that Cork race is a very fast time, as podcasters will know. So I'm definitely going to give him another chance. I think this bigger field will suit him. I think the stronger pace will suit him than it did the other night at Tipperary. And hopefully, Yes, I Am at 10-1 can also run much better than his odds suggest. So Beau Satchel and Yes, I Am, my two to suggest and recommend in the 4:20.
OK, the 4:55 is next up, a handicap over 7 furlongs. 8 runners got a post, Andy, so this race could have a nice each-way feel to it. But that said, if you're going to have a win bet on the race, then it would seem that you're going to get some fairly decent value, whatever you fancy. Kolbata heads affairs at 7-4 as we speak. Zaki's Jack 100-30, 8s or bigger the rest. What do you fancy here?
Yeah, it'd have to be Covato here in the 455. You'd probably be unwise to suggest otherwise because of that form behind Stormfly at the Curragh on its seasonal reappearance. Of course, Stormfly went and did the Dermot World Camp proud by winning the 1,000 Guineas trial at Leopardstown on Sunday. So that form couldn't be any stronger. And also, it was a nice one as well on soft ground towards the back end of last year to really cement the fact that this horse does want a bit of giving the ground behind Mandamus and Dawn Mirage. He's obviously trained on from 2 to 3. And generally speaking, John Ox has made quite a nice start to the season. Socky's Jack looks the danger, having run quite well at Gowran on Sunday beyond Ringside Humour. Of course, runs later on in the card. But beyond that, we're a little bit in the dark whether quite a few of these go on the ground or not, or in the same kind of form than the favourite. So let's go with Cobarta. 7-4 with William Hill. I think a little bit shorter than that on the off. And he looks a confident vote there in that 455.
Okay, Cobarta, a confident pick then in the 455. The 525 is next up, and it's a maiden over 1 mile and 2 furlongs. There's some potentially nice types going to post here, Andy, not least Valak, unraced for Dermot World and Pat Smullen, but they can do little wrong at the minute. That said, the two main dangers, what you'd expect to be the main dangers, do have some nice enough form in Hans Holbein and Game Set Dash. Valak would have to be fairly smart to be winning on debut, but all of the market signs are suggesting that he is, Andy.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, he's been put in a very short price. I think bookmakers have had their trousers down over the last two or three weeks to suggest they're not going to take any chances on any world runner. We just don't know whether that's the right price or not. On the evidence of what we've seen, maybe it is, but you know, it might just be one of those ones that doesn't come up to scratch. So you have got a couple of horses who have at least got a bit of experience if you are going to take on the jolly. Of the two, I think Hans Holbein's probably the weakest. I saw him run the other day down in Cork, and he didn't really do a great deal in the latter stages for an 8-15 shot. And of course, he was brushed aside by Sumea, who is trained by Dermot Weld. So if there is good money and continued support for Valak, that suggests that this Valak, son of Dark Angel, of course, could be a little bit better than Sumea. And if that's the case, then he should beat Hans Holbein, who was very disappointing off the bridle and failed to handle the ground, in my opinion. So the danger might well be Game, Set and Dash to the favourite, who's had one run. And he split a couple of decent horses at Dundalk in that particular effort, behind Witchwood Warrior, of course, who's gone on to win subsequently following a trip out to Dubai. And back in third was Sergeant Rock, who broke his maiden tag the next time on the racetrack. So I think if I was going to suggest a betting angle in this race, if you didn't want to take a short price about Valak, then perhaps back Game, Set, Dash, either each way or without the favourite. That seems to be the option there. And that's at 5.25.
OK, so are we going to go with Game, Set, Dash? Will that be the selection?
We'll go Game, Set, Dash without the favourite.
OK, at 4-1 as we speak, seems a fair enough price, but obviously you can get involved without the favourite, etc., in the hope that Valak isn't all he cracked up to be, but certainly an interesting race to watch. The 5.55 is next up. It is a handicap over 1 mile and 2 furlongs, and there would appear to be plenty of handicap plotters in here, Mr. Holding. Ringside Humour would have, well, looked like one 4 days ago. Got off the mark. That was a huge step up in form, if you like. Carries the penalty here for Jim Bolger and Kevin Manning. Is short at 6-4, Andy, but certainly has showed the best form. There are a few potential lurkers in here, but would you back Ringside Humour at the price?
I certainly would, yeah. I think this is an absolutely terrible race, and it's a race that Ringside Humour should win standing on ahead. I was really impressed with the way this filly won the other day. I mean, it was over a trip which arguably was a little bit too short for her. I mean, she's by Tier Filio, out of a strong stamina influence on the dam side, and yet she's managed to win his first time out, coming from an impossible position after being slowly away with only one horse behind her turning in. She got in all sorts of trouble and she still won going away. Obviously, we get a good chance to have a look how good that form is early on in the card when Saki's Jack appears in the 4.55, which is rather nice of Paul Deegan to give us a form guide. But yeah, stepping up to 3 furlongs, we should really see the Ringside Humour step up to the plate. And I think she'll win this quite comfortably. I think even at odds of 6-4, 13 right this morning, that is not a bad price in the context of this race, because they are a bad bunch in behind her. And she's going to improve as well, like I say, stepping up in trip. So Ringside Humour for a knockout blow in the 5.55.
Okay, Ringside Humour in the 5.55, and the 6.25 is a handicap over 1 mile and 2 furlongs. Some consistent types going to post here, Andy, but it does look an open race. Midfield General for Jim Bolger and Kevin Manning, another horse that only ran 4 days ago. Did show some improved form there, if you like. Maybe not enough to you know, justify a really short price here. 7-2 seems fair, but like I said, plenty of consistent types coming up against him. The question is, though, Andy, who's going to get their head in front?
Yeah, midfield general ran quite well on Sunday. Gowan, I think, the drop back in triple suit. He looked like winning with a couple of furlongs to go, but he got outstayed in the end by Dancing with Angels and Anna Diamond. But I'm going to go against the Bulger runner here in the shape of a couple of horses, I think, could be still quite well handicapped. The one of them is Sweet Cherry. She's now got her ground again, and she's got the best track form as well. Of course, with that win towards the back end of last season when she beat Sailor Focus, of course, was in red-hot form at the time. She then bumped into Eberdani on her next start at Bellierstown before finding Fast Ground too fast for her at the Curra when dropping back in trip. Back up in trip on soft ground. Hopefully, Edward Delaney's got this horse Cherry Ripe for her first run. But the other one also to mention as well is Colapia, horse that I've gone for on more than one or two occasions on the all-weather circuit throughout the winter. She's been running really, really well. But one or two things haven't quite panned out for her, but it's traction playing to her strength. She's a hold-up performer that likes to come off the speed down the centre of the track. She'll be absolutely ideal. I'll be amazed if they don't come down the middle towards the end of the card. And hopefully Billy Lee can get his timing absolutely right with Colapier. And she does make some sort of appeal this morning at rather generous-looking 9-1. So I'm going to go against midfield general and suggest we have a look at Sweet Cherry with some fantastic form under its bonnet here at Leopardstown. And also Colapier, who comes here fit after many good runs at Dundalk.
OK, could be another good day for Pat Smullen today then, on the back of what you said there, Andy, and the fact that he's riding some fancied runners. But great stuff. Thank you very much for your time, and we'll catch up with you later in the week.
Will do. Cheers, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.